Welcome, everybody, to Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. My name is Jawanza, and I'm very, very excited to come back to you once again. You know, it is truly, truly a blessing just to be alive. You know, I just wanted everybody to let that sink in. I know we say that all the time. You know, how you doing? I'm blessed. How you doing? I'm blessed. I mean, but really, really, think for a moment, just really think how blessed you are. I mean, you're alive. You know, there's some people that woke up this morning that aren't going to sleep tonight, okay, just simply because it was their time and they transitioned by whatever means. They're not going to bed tonight, but they woke up this morning. But you woke up this morning and you're still here and you're listening to this show. So, therefore, I repeat, you are blessed. And regardless of what state of health that you're in, you're still blessed because you're breathing. And somebody needs to hear that. Because sometimes the challenges / opportunities in life, when they present themselves to us, they don't oftentimes seem like blessings. But there are such things as blessings in disguise. So I just want everybody to take a moment and really, really think about the goodness that's going on in your life, because, you know, sometimes the mind just gravitates to everything that's just not going well, as opposed to focusing on and concentrating on the things that are going well in your life. You know, this show is called Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life. We talk about your health, we talk about your wealth, and we talk about your divinity. Very important. Okay, because we can get so caught up in living that we forget the purpose of why we're living, of even why we're alive, why we were born. What's the purpose of all of this, right? So I try to bring you shows with people that are life changers. They can either change the way you think about your life, and if you listen, you can learn something. Or they can change your viewpoint on the way you eat. And if you listen, you know, you can learn something. We do shows on entrepreneurship. And if you listen, you can learn a little something about business. So, again, I'm very blessed today to have an opportunity to come to you. And so while I'm waiting for my guest, by the way, my special guest today is a regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine. She's got an awesome testimony. I mean, for those new listeners, this is going to be the first time that she's been on this year. But if you go back in the archives, when I say her name, I want you to write it down where you can go back in the archives and listen to the shows that she's done. My special guest today is going to be Dr. Ruby Lathan. She's got an awesome testimony. She actually cured herself of thyroid cancer. The doctors wanted to take her thyroid from her. And she said, I don't think so. And I'll let her tell her testimony when she gets here. But it's very, very awesome. And although we're not going to be talking about thyroid cancer specifically today, we are going to be talking about cancer. We're going to be talking about lung cancer. Okay, so while I'm waiting on her, I'll give you a little history of Dr. Lathan. She's a certified holistic health nutritionist and advocate for plant-based nutrition. Dr. Ruby inspires with a powerful story of recovering from thyroid cancer through alternative treatment focused on a whole foods, plant-based diet. She worked as a researcher and an award-winning engineer and now teaches others how to re-engineer their health and live disease-free. Dr. Lathan is a graduate of the University of Alabama, and she served as nutrition policy manager at the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, where she developed and led a national grassroots campaign to advocate legislation for more healthful plant-based meal options in the national school lunch program. Dr. Lathan is host of the Veggie Chest, a plant-based cooking show, and through her organization, Roadmap to Holistic Health, Dr. Ruby hosts a number of health conferences, workshops, and vegan cooking classes, and provides customized nutritional consultation, and we are blessed to have her as a regular on this show. I mean, if you haven't checked out the Veggie Chest, I encourage you to do that. The Veggie Chest is a show that Dr. Ruby created. It comes on YouTube, and if you just go over there and type in the Veggie Chest, just like, you know, short for vegetable, V-E-G-G-I-E, then you'll see it. It'll pop up. And that was created so that people who are making the transition from eating meat to a holistic lifestyle have a guide, because sometimes people just don't know what to eat, right? I mean, they're like, okay, I know I need to make some changes, but I don't know exactly what. So, you know, how do I make these changes? You know, how do I go from being meat, eating meat, to vegetarian or vegan? You know, so she actually will take you by the hand and walk you through the process, so that way there's no excuse, right? You don't have any excuse now to say, well, I don't know how to prepare vegan dishes, or I don't know how to juice, or I don't know how to make the transition. Well, you need to check out the Veggie Chest, okay? And then Dr. Ruby will take you by the hand again and walk you through the whole process. Speaking of Dr. Ruby, she's with us, so let me get to it. Welcome,
hello.
Dr. Ruby. How are you today?
I'm good. Glad to be here.
Wow, it's great to hear your voice. I was just thinking, wow, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been.
I'm very, very, I just got finished telling the listeners all about you. I just finished reading your bio so they know who you are, the ones who have never heard of you before. I guarantee you all, you won't forget her. She's an awesome, awesome professional in the field of chosen, which is life-saving. She's chosen the profession of life-saving and life-changing. Started with her own. Dr. Latham, I got an echo going on over there.
Okay.
Okay. So,
all right, there we go. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dr. Latham, again, I told the people that you had a powerful, powerful testimony. And let me mention, this is the first time you've been on this year, but they could go through the archives, and there are tons and tons of shows with Dr. Latham. We've talked about everything relating to holistic health. But, you know, for the new people, everybody, I'm sure, wants to know when they're listening to somebody and somebody says, oh, this person is an expert. Oftentimes people want to know, well, what makes them an expert? Why is she an expert? What does she do that makes her such an expert when it comes to holistic health? Dr. Latham, I know I always ask you to share your testimony, but it's so powerful. It's so moving. It's so and even the testimony itself, as moving as it is, I mean, when you think about everything, it took you about close to a year to get this testimony, so everybody, we're kind of going to condense it, so you'll get the testimony in a few minutes, but, I mean, it is powerful. It is really, really powerful, and I know that for Dr. Ruby to have gone through what she went through and to come out on the other side, a new person with a new outlook on life, you know, new things to share, new adventures, just to have gone through that, I'm sure that even in the process of that whole endeavor, Dr. Latham, that you came out a changed person. You're not the same person on the other side of cancer that you were prior to beating it. Can you tell the people how you got started in holistic health?
Sure. I got started because of cancer, being diagnosed with thyroid cancer back in 2007, and I decided to try a natural route to it instead of the traditional route of surgery and medication, which was the only option, was to have surgery and then to remove the thyroid and then be on medication. I just didn't want to do that, so decided to look for alternatives, and I switched to a plant-based diet and got rid of a lot of junk out of the diet as well, and, you know, changed lifestyle and stress, and added, you know, a lot of good things like visualization and meditation, and was able to reverse the cancer in a year just with food and supplements and changing lifestyle. So I was super excited about that and changed the direction of what I was doing in terms of career. So I quit engineering and decided to do holistic nutrition to help people find the path to health as well, because it's people need to know that you can heal yourself and you can prevent a lot of these diseases, you know, with diet and things like that. So that was the big change, and so it's been a good change, and it's been working, and I've been able to help a lot of people find a new way to health and healing.
You know, that is such a powerful testimony, Dr. Lathan, and I know that, you know, since 2007, at least since 2007, your circle has been, you know, one of, I guess, vegetarians and vegans and, you know, other people that have adopted a plant-based diet such as yourself. And when we run in these circles, you know, it's nothing for us to hear. Like, you know, I've heard your testimony, you know, and then you hear and read about other people who've reversed cancer and other conditions just by changing the way they eat. But for a lot of the masses, there are a lot of people. It's kind of surprising at times when I share information with somebody and they're shocked by it, because I'm so used to running in circles where, you know, plant-based healing is the norm. But, you know, when you're sharing with other people that might not run in those circles, they oftentimes are shocked. And I'm sometimes met with disbelief that, you know, you can actually heal through foods, and because it's the thought is, well, if it was that easy as changing your diet, how come the doctors have never shared this with me? You know, how come if it was just a simple, if I could just get rid of this cancer by just, you know, starting to eat more vegetables and stop eating meat and dairy, and if it was that simple, you know, would the country or the powers that be that control the information be that, for lack of a better term, sinister to withhold information from people in the medical field that could use it to heal people? So what do you say to people when, if met with that question, well, if it was that simple to cure cancer, because even today you have people that are praying, still praying, for a cure for cancer. You know, even every what is it? I don't recall which month it is, Breast Cancer Awareness Month or Different Cancers Awareness Month. You know, you see the people, and I'm not knocking, you know, the ribbons and so forth, but you constantly hear people, you know, I'm praying for the cure. We're praying for the cure. And when you see that the cure is here because you've done it, I mean, how does it make you feel when you realize that there's still so many people out here that are still praying for the cure when the cure is here?
good question. It's aggravating to hear the search for the cure and the races for the cure and all of these things for the cure when actual cures are being suppressed and people are being harassed when they bring forward cures that work, and instead of real research being done on how we can maximize food and nutrition and lifestyle and take out the things that actually cause cancer, all we're looking at is how can we make a pharmaceutical to cure cancer. It's irritating, but it lets just me know how much work needs to be done in this area, and more people are becoming aware because the information is widely available in research on the internet, and people are seeing how many people are dying from these traditional cancer treatments, and so they are opting, they're waking up. So you can't suppress mm-hmm. this too long in the age of information at this point. So there's hope, but it takes people being willing to step out of the matrix, so to speak, and realize what's really going on, and that because of our, I hate to say capitalistic society, because capitalism itself is nothing wrong with it, but the way that we have put money above all else and allowed it to drive everything. There's nothing wrong with money either. I don't advocate poverty, but allowing it to drive all decisions instead of putting health and wellness first and what's good for society first, you know, has created an environment where every industry is preying on people in so many different ways, from the food industry to the pharmaceutical to the medical industry. It's like, how can we maximize our dollar regardless of the impact it's going to have on human health or animal health or the environment? Just don't care. That kind of unbridled greed is what's gotten us here. And so I don't know what the solution is for that, to bring people's humanity back, and that you can still make millions of dollars and not kill people at the same time. It's possible, you know, but it seems like there's only like the quickest path to money is what has gotten us here. And with cures that don't work and, you know, food that's killing us and all of this that's going on. So, yeah, I don't really have a lot of hope for mainstream society coming out and saying, you know, the cure is here. Because one part of it is that while there are multiple cures for cancer, there's no surefire remedy for everyone. So I can't say if you take these three natural remedies, you're going to cure your cancer for sure. It just doesn't tend to work like that. So that's why it makes this a little more difficult, because usually when you're following holistic methods, it takes lifestyle, it takes a lot of other things. But I am sure there's cures out there where you can just attack the cancer tumor and it's gone. I know mm-hmm. doctors who are working on that, black doctors who are working on that right now and just waiting for funding to finish the testing. So it's out there. You know, so I just turn the channel when I hear all the searching and hoping and praying for the cure, because it's irritating to me. So,
well, what do you think about when you hear people who have, let's say, had breast cancer or had some for cervical cancer or something, and they went the allopathic route and they say, I beat it, you know, because
yeah.
I know that when and I'll just use breast cancer, for example, because I've seen the, you know, the promotion, not promotions, but ads or the commercials for it, or, you know, when it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, you know, somebody might stand up holding a sign or something, you know, hey, I beat it. And they went the allopathic route. That might make it more difficult for people who run across holistic health information relating to ways in which to cure cancer when they've heard that somebody who didn't change their diet at all, kept eating what they ate, you know, just they went the allopathic route and beat it. Or when they say they beat it, does that mean that they, in most cases or in some cases, does that just mean that they surpassed the success, I guess, that number that if you're still alive after 5 years, then they consider you to have beat the cancer? I mean, that could play a role in someone actually saying that they actually beat it. Can you share what that number is? I mean, or that year? Is it a 5 year?
It's a 5 year
marker that they say, okay, if you've
mm-hmm.
had cancer for 5 years and you've been taking this treatment for 5 years and you're still here, then you know you've quote beat it end quote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the case, and I do know people who have use the, you know, allopathic methods or traditional cancer treatments and lived, and that's great. I know people who tried it and died rapidly. So it depends. And the few that I know that did the natural treatment, they also changed their diet and went more plant-based and, you know, 10, 12 years later are still here. But they did more than just the chemo and radiation. They changed the way they live too, and so they're still here to talk about it. So yeah, the stats for cancer survival are 5 years. So they stopped know if they stop tracking, but they consider it, they mark it as a success if you're still alive within 5 years. If you die 5 years, 4 months, they still mark that as a success. So we don't really know how successful, you know, these are if they're not tracking long term. So, and I understand the difficulty in tracking people forever too, but that's the marker that they use, is the 5 year mark, and that's success. So a lot of people are making it to 6 years and dying, and you know, so it's not necessarily so the numbers are basically can be inflated because that's the marker that they're using. But, you know, people have survived it using the allopathic methods, but there are a lot of people who don't, and or people who have done the allopathic way, and then it comes back, and then now they're trying natural because they were like, it was so hard on the body and so near death doing the traditional treatments that they don't want to do it again, and then the cancer has recurred. And that primarily, a lot of the cancer recurs because they're not given any advice on dietary changes to make or lifestyle changes to make. So they're still using toxic body products. They're still eating meat and dairy or high-fat food or processed food. They're still living in a high-stress, toxic environment. You know, all of those things. So it's bound to come back when you change nothing. And that's what the story is not being told to people who go through a lot of the chemo. And so then when it comes back, it's like, oh, too bad it came back. I wonder, that's unfortunate. It's just one of those things. When it's not just one of those things. It's because nothing was done. You just cut out something and changed nothing. So, of course, you know, the likelihood of it coming back is pretty high. So that happens a lot. With natural treatment, sometimes it takes a lot of change that people aren't ready to make. And so they just want a pill, or it's easier for them just to go and get the treatments and not have to make lifestyle changes, relationship changes, you know, food changes, because they're not ready or willing to do that. So it's not always straightforward with any method.
You know, you just said something, and we do have a caller that wants to talk to you, but you just said something. I just want to just stay here for a quick second. You mentioned relationship changes. You know, I think that you'd be hard-pressed to find someone who said that, you know, I think that part of the reason I, you know, came down with cancer is because of my relationships, whether they're, you know, mate relationships or just, you know, you're hanging with the wrong crowd relationships, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm sure you would say that it would possibly be the stress that from those relationships not necessarily the individual, but the stress related to the interactions, whether it's just, you know, somebody could be in a bad relationship, could be a violent relationship or something, but, you know, somebody would probably be hard-pressed to find somebody to say, well, you know, my ex-boyfriend gave me cancer. You know what I'm saying?
Right, and you can't really blame people for that, because it's really how you process the relationship. And so if the person is toxic, you allow it and you process it that way. So you really can't blame anybody else but yourself. You know, now they can be a big reason, you know, but, you know, we all have the power to change either our circumstance or how we process what's happening to us, you know. So, you can kind of pinpoint some things like that. But, yeah, I would never put it on somebody else, even if they were a toxic character in my life, because you have the power. And we always have to remember that we have the power to make whatever change we need to make our lives better in whatever way.
Absolutely.
You know.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Lace, if somebody wants to talk to you, I'm going to call the last four digits of your number. Let's see here. 1591. You're on the air with Dr. Ruby Lace. Thank you for your patience.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air with Dr. Lace.
Hi. I've been listening to this since the start, the show from the start. I'm currently a second year med student. And my undergrad was medical biology. I just got to say that, and I hope we can have a civil discussion about this, but having a topic such as lung cancer, can it be treated naturally? I think anyone that's watching this and thinking they can do that, I have to advise against it as much as possible. I've seen people who go through, they do holistic medicine, they do other alternative medicine. I'll take this for example. Lymphoma, I was talking to a physician that had a patient who had lymphoma. She came in, and lymphoma is pretty fast. It spreads pretty fast. It metastasizes pretty fast. I got to say that I talked to the doctor 2 weeks ago, and she passed away 5 months because she denied treatment the proper allopathic way, as you would say. I got to say that trying to cure any kind of, especially cancer, is extremely dangerous. And I would advise anyone that's trying to do this against it. I just want to see, I'm not trying to, devalue your credentials, but you have a PhD in industrial and systems engineering. That has nothing to do with medical.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware of my credentials, very much aware of that. And I understand you're entitled to your opinion, and I'm not shocked by that either. And I know many people who've gone for, my aunt actually went for chemo and died within 2 weeks of chemo when she had been living with the cancer for years before that. So we can pull up anecdotal stories from here till the cows come home about who dies from doing no treatment versus allopathic treatment. So that's really not the point. So my point is, I never discourage people from getting treatment, and everyone should make their own decision. So doing nothing is not a treatment. Doing nothing is not a natural treatment. To say I'm not going to do allopathic and then do nothing else is not what I ever recommend. I'm like, you need to do something. And when you do a natural way, you need to work with someone who's had experience in it and has helped, and you have to be willing to make those changes. And I never make guarantees, but you need to do some research on the many, many people who have lived by doing natural treatments themselves and compare that to the alternative of these treatments that often kill people. And it's lymphoma, not lymphoma, but it's lymphoma. I've helped people recover from lymphoma before. So, I mean, I do understand your position as a student, but when you live life and see that's what's happened and see myself, I didn't need credentials to heal myself, but I did consult with many, many, many people on what I should do and how I should do it, and was able to come up with my own plan to do that. But what I advocate is something that's backed up by science. This is not something we're just pulling out of the air. It's not hokey pokey. You can read up on the benefits and the power of nutrition to heal cancer, many types of cancer, including lung cancer, including all types of cancer. And sometimes you are in a trickier situation when you have a cancer that is metastasizes quickly. You have to act quickly, and sometimes the best course of action is to do a combination of natural treatment and allopathic treatment until things can get under control. So I never tell people what to do, but what I do give is informed information that shows that eating a certain amount of animal protein tends to turn cancer cells on and turn them off when you go under, let's say, 10% of animal protein. So there's a lot more to this, and I've studied this more than most people because I studied to save my own life, so I wasn't taking it lightly. So, no, my experience doesn't come from my degree in computer science and industrial engineering and all of that. My information comes from self-study. It comes from my nutrition background and certifications, and it comes from actual tried and true methods that healed myself and many other people. So that's where it comes from. And I have doctors who consult with me, MDs, because many times their methods don't work. So they seek out the natural methods. So I
Thank
just,
you,
you know,
call.
Suggest to be a little more open about these methods and speak from experience and do some research on how the body works in terms of how we can address cancer in more than one way.
You know, Doc, since we're talking about cancer, again, a lot of people you know, they hear the word cancer and they might just not know exactly what it is when the doctor tells them, you know, we found cancer cells. So that people can help people to understand their own bodies and what's going on in their bodies. For example, when a doctor comes and says, hey, you know, we've done this biopsy and, you know, we found these cells to be cancerous. What exactly are they saying? You know, because people, again, have heard the term cancer for years, and they just say, oh, cancer, you know, they just take it, oh, I got cancer, but not really knowing what that means, what's actually happening with the cells when they hear that. Could you share on that?
Sure. I think the simplest way is to explain it is it's cells that have kind of gone rogue and are multiplying, you know, not according to the way they were assigned to multiply. So they're multiplying faster and kind of on their own and in some cases attacking, you know, healthy tissue and organs and things like that. So it is really cell cancer cells that have changed from healthy cells to unhealthy cells and are now basically multiplying not without a blueprint of what they should be doing. So that is in the easiest way to to say that.
Okay. I got another call. Let me see who's going on here. Let's see. 5923. 5923, you're on the air with Dr. Latham. Thank you for your patience.
Why'd I get cut off right when I was right when she was trying to explain stuff?
Go ahead, Doc. You were saying, so we're talking about lung cancer today, Dr. Latham. So when we talk about lung cancer, a lot of times people assume that the only way that you can get lung cancer for a lot of people is smoking. I mean, that's one of the biggest considerations when it comes to people and cancer or lung cancer. It's probably if you ask the average person, how do you get lung cancer, you know, smoke cigarettes, you know. But aside from cigarettes, what other factors may contribute to an individual getting lung cancer?
Well, there's oftentimes environmental things. We know things like asbestos and those kind of things, taking in just unhealthy air. You know, pollution basically is another one of the major causes of lung cancer. So it's not always smoking. Obviously, you know, there's secondhand smoke, but it's usually, you know, air pollution, different things like working in factories where there's a lot of polluted air, you know, car exhaust and things like that where you're taking in constantly impure air and chemicals into the lungs. Those can be the primary causes of lung cancer.
Okay. So to the caller, if they're still listening online, the reason why I, you know, didn't bring you back on was because you had raised your issue, you had raised your point, okay? You shared your thoughts, and Dr. Latham responded to your thoughts, okay? And I didn't want to have a situation where it's just back and forth, you know, where you're trying to prove her wrong. Obviously, you felt that her position wasn't based on sound information, and you felt that yours was, okay? And so, but we have a show to do, okay? And so I didn't want to spend the bulk of the show going back and forth over a position because obviously because she has personal experience in having, I don't know if you do, but she does have personal experience in terms of having used holistic medicine, a plant-based diet to get rid of her cancer. I don't know. I can't speak for you. I don't know if you've ever used allopathic medicine to get rid of, heal, or whatever the word you want to use is, somebody from that condition. So, again, it didn't appear as though she was going to change your mind. I know you weren't going to change her mind. So rather than go back and forth, I just said, okay, I allowed you to make your point respectfully, okay? And after you made your point, then I let her respond. So there was no need to come back on and to go back and forth with that. So I just wanted to make that clear. But I do appreciate you calling in. I certainly do appreciate you calling in. I certainly appreciate you listening. And I also appreciate your perspective. Dr. Lathan, let's talk for a moment about, if we can, meditation in the lungs. And the reason I phrased it that way, because I know when we meditate, there's a lot of air that's, you know, taken into the lungs. When we breathe deeply, is that a way of, and I don't know another word to use, and I'll just use this word because I can't think of a better one, flush toxins from the lungs as we breathe deeply and exhale, taking in fresh air and, you know, exhaling the old air? I would assume that on some level that, I mean, it might not, you know, it might not appear that that would be affecting the cells, but that's why I'm asking. Would that benefit a person, either helping a person to prevent lung cancer, or would it, and would it be beneficial to someone trying to get rid of it?
That can be helpful, but that would not be like a standalone cure for it, because when you take in these chemicals and things like that, there's damage that's being done, so you can't just breathe it out at that point. Now, it does certainly help to do deep breathing if you're not experiencing, you know, continual air pollution and smoking and secondhand smoke. It definitely helps to breathe in and take out the stale air, do deep breathing and, you know, taking in good, clean air. Absolutely. It's very, very beneficial and can be used as, you know, part of the healing process for sure. But there's some, you know, other things that would have to happen to really, you know, cause the a remission of the cancer, if we're talking about lung cancer.
And we want to state here, you know, I think now would probably be a good time to say it, a disclaimer of sorts, that Dr. Lathan is not proposing, and she touched on it, she's not proposing a cure. She's not saying that if you do this, you know, or I can cure you or I can heal you. She gave her testimony, okay? It was her testimony. She shared what happened when she changed her diet. Okay, and as a result, she's shown other people how they, too, can increase the quality of their life by making some changes in their life. Okay, we're not selling anything, okay, not selling a pill or anything like that. So just want to make that disclaimer clear that, again, Dr. Lathan shared what happened with her. She has seen and witnessed the benefits of a plant-based diet in her own life and working with other people. But we're not saying or making any guarantees or promises that if you do this or that will happen. I mean, because a lot of times people come to this information at different points in their life. I mean, different stages. You might have somebody that might come to you, Dr. Lathan, seeking information, and they may have just been diagnosed with cancer. Or you might have somebody that comes to you that may be in stage four cancer. And it really depends on what they're willing to do to get better. I mean, it depends on what far, you know, how to go with it.
I mean,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I understand that people have a difference of opinion. And, you know, with what I do, I don't mind being challenged. What I do mind is the way that you're going to do it. First of all, because I've never you know, said I was a medical doctor. I put it out there on my website. I put my bio out there, my education out there. So it's clear. So I'm not sitting here pretending I'm a medical doctor telling folks how to heal. I'm here as an advocate and educator on holistic nutrition, and that's what I do because it works. And so what I do have a problem with is people who really haven't educated themselves on natural methods at all and don't know what that entails and often feel like doing nothing is a natural remedy when it's not. You know, I'm like, you'd be better off doing allopathic methods than doing nothing if you're going to do nothing. Nothing is not a treatment. So, sure, there are plenty of people who die quickly after getting diagnosed and refuse treatment of any type. And like I said, there's many people who die after getting chemotherapy and radiation and die very quickly thereafter. I've seen it happen in my own family. So this is about you going with your gut and deciding what's best for you, and having done research on both sides and making an informed decision. So, like I said, with anybody that I work with or advise, I never tell them, what to do, because it's a very personal decision and it has to be up to you, and you have to be committed to whatever it is you're going to do. And so I've never discouraged anyone from doing allopathic treatment or chemo or radiation or anything like that. I say, what is it you want to do and how can I help you through whatever process? If you're going to do chemo, there are some things you can do nutritionally that can help fortify your body to withstand that. If you're going to do radiation, there's some protective supplements and things you can do to fortify your body to give you a better fighting chance when it's done. If you're not going to do that, then we're going to need to do an intensive treatment natural plan, and often working with a physician, holistic physician, to put a plan together that will help you be successful to do it naturally. That's what I do. And so to come and say, don't tell people not to do things, I don't do that. So that's a little offensive as well. So we can have a debate. I've debated many people, doctors and the like, but, you know, there's a way to do it, and that's what it can be irritating when people just come off the cuff with very little information about me, about what I've recommend or suggest or what I'm doing. And so, you know, just educate yourself before you pop off that, folks. That's all.
You know, Doctor, as I was preparing for the show, I was doing some research and saw that asthma was a related condition to lung cancer. You know, I was reading an article and it said, oh, related conditions, and asthma was the related condition that popped up. Now, Can you see a correlation there? I mean, can you see from what you understand about the body how asthma and lung cancer can be somehow related, or no? I mean, aside from them both dealing with the lungs, and you know, aside beyond that, can you see any correlation there as to why they would be lumped together?
One of the reasons would probably be because of the inflammation that occurs when you have asthma. You know, there's like a chronic inflammation that's happening that's causing a lot of irritation and phlegm and mucus and things like that, and just inflammation that's blocking the air passages and things like that. So I could see that there could possibly be, you know, some link between it. It's not a strong link, I think, you know, generally, from what my understanding, I haven't really studied that link specifically, but inflammation causes a lot of irritation and leads to cancers and many other things. So anywhere that you have chronic inflammation can set you up for further more serious diseases in that area that where there's chronic inflammation, for sure.
You know,
and
thing
asthma
that
is one of those
was...
conditions that has,
yeah,
you know, inflammation.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that, you know, another thing that I saw that was really interesting was age. Speaking of age, it was the older you got, the greater the chances of contacting lung cancer was. I mean, it was rare. It's not like with diabetes or something where you see children with it a lot. The graphs were showing that the older you got, the more likely that you were or put you at a higher risk of getting lung cancer, whereas, I mean, very, very few incidences in children. Now, I would assume, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, part of that just comes from living. I mean, the longer you live, the more bad air you have an opportunity to breathe. I mean, you probably, you know, depending on your lifestyle, You know, you're not going to find babies smoking, but, you know, of course you have adults who do smoke and, you know, maybe are exposed to certain, like you mentioned, asbestos or other conditions or other, you know, environmental things that could contribute to that. But any thoughts from you why you think that that could be the case, why the older you get, the more likelihood when it comes to lung cancer specifically to contact it as opposed to, you know, when you're younger?
You know, I would agree with you that it's more because of the longer time that you've been exposed to certain toxins that, you know, because the body does a really good job of holding things together and clearing things out as much as it can. So it usually takes time for cancers to develop and build up and manifest themselves. So I don't know why this particular cancer, you know, it takes the longest, but I think, you know, because of one of the greatest risk factor is smoking, the longer, you know, smoking, children generally aren't smoking, so their risks aren't going to be lower. And even if you do smoke, it usually takes years and years before cancer shows up. So it's more of an additive effect would be the main reason, in my opinion, that it's just the time over years that the toxins have built up and the cancer develops versus younger, the body just tries to hold things together as much as it can and encapsulate things and keep it going for as long as possible and before things manifest themselves. Whereas when you have illnesses like that are related to obesity, they tend to manifest a lot quicker because of the way that they work. You know, the kidneys are going to react faster and, you know, blood sugar is going to damage kidneys and things like that. High blood pressure is going to damage cells and things a lot faster than, let's say, polluted air. So, you know, it's a different mechanism. We're dealing with, you know, lifestyle kind of food-related diseases, you know, that deal with obesity and things like that and just really, really poor diet. The body tends to respond a lot faster with those types than things like lung cancer.
And, you know, when you hear people talk about lung cancer, rarely have you heard anybody talk about it from the standpoint of it being hereditary. I mean, you hear people talk about other things being hereditary. You know, heart disease runs in my family, or arthritis runs in my family, or diabetes runs in my family. But I've never heard lung cancer runs in my family, or even cancer runs in my family, although it's clear that you might have a lot of people in the same family that have had issues. Many people have died in the same family from cancer. Even with that, you still don't hear people say, at least I haven't heard people say, cancer runs in my family. You know, it doesn't seem like people, it's almost like they can admit or at least conceive that, say, heart trouble can run in their family or, you know, something like that. But you don't hear, at least I haven't heard people say that cancer runs in the family. But even let's talk about that for a second in terms of reversing it. Okay, we've talked about it. We've kind of laid a foundation what it is. We've talked about cancer from different angles. But when it comes to reversing it, somebody says, okay, I'm listening to the show because I want to know, can cancer be treated naturally? Yes, it can be treated naturally. But again, the results will vary. But what if someone came to you, Dr. Lathan, and wanted to be put on a plan to reverse their cancer? I'm sure there. You mentioned, at least for yourself, you know, you got rid of some stress out of your life. I mean, it's not just food, right? It's food and some other lifestyle changes. Could you talk about the other lifestyle changes as opposed to, or shall I say, not opposed to, but in addition to food? Because, you know, people know when they tune into this show that we promote a vegan lifestyle. But in addition to food, what are some other things that people can do to help, eliminate the effects of cancer and with the hopes of reversing it?
Sure. So after we've, you know, cleaned the diet and eating, you know, foods that help boost the immune system and taking out foods that suppress the immune system, that's definitely the starting point for sure. So but the next one piece to that would be looking at a lot of the supplements that help fight cancer in general. So there are things like B17 or the apricot seeds that have been shown to help fight cancer cells. There's also quite a few essential oils that have been used, and oils in general, like oregano oil being one of those that's, you know, taken, you know, that therapeutic oil, for example, is one of those that really, that's been shown to be helpful in, you know, turning these things around. And you can take frankincense oil both internally and externally. So you just have to make sure you're using a food grade essential oil if you're going to take it internally, because not all essential oils are, you know, able to be taken internally too. Mm-hmm. So there's the essential oil of frankincense and some others that are really helpful. So the others, you know, kind of follow along a general kind of an anti-cancer diet of just really fortifying the immune system with things that are anti-inflammatory, from like curcumin or turmeric and ginger. Those type of things really, really do help. Some of the other essential oils that I'm thinking of would be lavender and peppermint. Also, mm-hmm. That are beneficial. So probably using a complex of these essential oils. I think frankincense is really one that's really powerful, and not just lung cancer, but others to help. You know, oxygenating the blood is another thing that you can do. So some people have really talked about the benefits of the high pH water, or Kagan water, or using that, and have used just that and talked about how it's helped their body heal. And that's because you're getting a lot of oxygen in the blood, and there's a lot of ways to do that. You know, exercise is one way, using a chi machine that rocks your feet, oxygenates the blood without creating free radicals in the system. So that's another way. Having a water that is, you know, clean, but also high, and the pH level has, or the Kagan water really does help with, you know, getting more oxygen in the system. So, and the reason you want more oxygen is because it is thought that, you know, cancer cells tend not to grow when there's lots of oxygen, but they tend to grow when there is a lack of it. So that's the reason for the, want to take things out of the diet that tend to feed cancers, like sugars and things like that, and hormonal foods like milk and cheese and things like that that also tend to feed it. So those are just, you know, some of the basics. But, you know, the apricot seeds or B17 is one. You know, juicing is another thing that's, you know, really helpful. Wheatgrass, kale, those kind of things that are high in lots of antioxidants, and, you know, different vitamins really help as well. So definitely having a really good multivitamin, lots of vitamin C, all of those things. So you're going to take these things in much higher doses than you normally would to really assist your body in fighting.
And while you're taking these things, you're stopping taking the other things, right? I mean, because you have some people that might say, well, then I'll just continue to eat meat and double up on my intake of vitamin C. You know what I mean? So,
right. It's a multi-pronged, process. You have to stop putting in things that are toxic. So, meat and dairy and those type of things, and processed food and high sugar foods and, you know, lots of fried foods. You do have to take those out and then add to these other things. And that's why I say, you know, it's a commitment when you take a natural approach, because there are a lot of changes that have to happen, that need to happen for this to really be successful, to get everything working in concert to help the healing process.
You know, what's interesting to me is that, you know, when you think of, and I use the word allopathic medicine, those who, you know, are proponents of it even might say, okay, well, you know, the other stuff doesn't work, right? The holistic stuff doesn't work. It's not been medically proven. It hasn't been, you know, whatever. It just doesn't work. But then my question would be to someone who takes that position is, well, can you explain why cancer exists then? You know, what causes it? You know, because if it can be prevented by, if studies have shown that people who are vegan and vegetarian tend to live longer than people that eat meat, then you have to ask yourself, well, what causes then, what's the cause of cancer? If you're saying that, okay, because it's been said that allopathic medicine treats symptoms but not the root cause, you know. And so my question is, I'll ask you this then, Doctor, because you actually had thyroid cancer and, you know, powerful testimony of how you got rid of it. When you went to the doctor, did he or she share with you their opinion? Did they even address how you got it, or did they just say, okay, this is what we're going to do to treat it?
No, there's no addressing of what causes it. I mean, of course, you ask that question, and usually the typical answer is, you know, don't really know. I mean, that's pretty much it. That's the answer, is we don't know what causes various types of cancer. We have some clues, like with lung cancer, we know that smoking generally causes lung cancer. So those are, like, you know, direct, you know, effects. But there, for most cancers, the answer is we don't know. And when you don't know what causes it, then it's kind of hard to pinpoint how to cure it in a lot of cases, in my opinion. So when we components of things that cause cancer, then we'd have a greater chance at eliminating it. But we don't acknowledge that for a variety of reasons. So that really then stymies the quote-unquote one of the primary causes of cancer, which is diet and lifestyle. And so we'll get things like, I mean, because I've heard people say, you know, they had surgery to have their cancer removed, and then their first meal was like, you know, sloppy Joe or chicken or grilled steak. And this is like the first meal after, first of all, I'm like, that's kind of heavy after a surgery, but that's what they're eating. The next day, and they asked them, I've had other clients say, they asked them, is there something I should do now to change my diet, you know, now that I'm, you know, doing this cancer treatment, the traditional cancer treatment. They're like, no, eat whatever you want, you know, get your weight up, get your ice cream and have whatever. They're not making the connection to the cause, which is why you have such a high recurrence rate with traditional treatment.
And you know what's interesting too, Doctor, is that a few years ago, the World Health Organization came out with a finding or conclusion that chicken was carcinogenic. You know, so, I mean, now this is the World Health Organization making these findings or admitting.
Sure, that was just in January when that one came out, right, because they came out years ago with the research that documented that processed meat was a carcinogen and was as bad in terms of you're raising your risk factor as smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So that's the research that came out, was that processed meat, eating 50 grams of processed meat, size of about a hot dog a day, was like smoking cigarettes regularly. So that's how high the risk factor was. And that didn't get a lot of traction, that processed meat. So we're talking about, you know, hot dogs, bologna, any kind of smoked meat, anything that's been processed like that, salami, you know, all that kind of meat that's eaten regularly, pepperoni, all of that was years now been categorized as a very high carcinogen on the scale of carcinogen. So, and now the recent one in January was talking about chicken specifically being very high on that list as well as being a primary carcinogen. So the research is out there. The incorporating it into practices isn't happening, or it's happening very, very slowly in terms of doctors taking that information and saying, okay, well, if this is a cause, then maybe we should not eat that. You know, that's
yeah.
a slower route to get to that point.
And maybe
but
it's
we don't have to wait. We don't have to wait for them to agree to that when we can read it for ourselves. But it's unfortunate a lot of people don't do the study for themselves, or they don't trust the information they're reading and that kind of thing. They're like, well, if this was true, then why isn't the medical industry telling us about it? Why hasn't it been adapted at medical schools? Why hasn't it been? And then there's a lot of reasons for that. And, you know, that's a whole nother show. But I know we're just about out of time. But, yes, kind of acknowledging some of the primary causes. And it's not the only cause. So, diet isn't the only cause, but it is a primary cause of cancer. And it is a primary method of recovery when you have a proper, you know, diet. So.
You know, I think it's easier, doctor, for probably physicians maybe to either believe in, you know, we've heard the saying that, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But I think that it's probably easier for physicians to believe, you know, that it's easier to prevent something than to actually reverse it holistically. You know, I don't know how physicians actually think, but it might be difficult because of their training to think that, okay, once somebody has something, that it can actually be reversed through the process of elimination. You know, if it's been proven that, or studies have shown that, you know, chicken and other meats are carcinogens, it might be difficult even with the data for them to say, okay, well, if I eliminate it, if that's the cause, well, then maybe if I eliminate it, maybe because of their studies, it might have been you that was sharing with me that I don't know how many hours of nutrition
physicians. The standard nutrition training for doctors is about 8 hours, and it's not really focused on nutrition in terms of being therapeutic, but more on how it interacts with medications and things like that. And that's why we know about, you know, don't eat grapefruit if you're on certain medications and that kind of thing. The contraindicators for medications and foods is more of the focus with some on, you know, your general nutrition. So really to ask doctors to take the leap and take the research and then jump in and say, now let's do dietary changes is big. Because that hasn't been incorporated into their training. So we really have to take it a step further, whereas I don't blame the doctors. I blame more the system for not allowing that information to be propagated properly. And the pharmaceuticals are leading often the medical training and the actual lineup of training that happens for doctors. They are really infiltrating that and leading it in their favor. So the doctors are just doing what they've been taught. So for them to go outside of that and then come back and say, I'm going to take this research and now incorporate it into my practice, even though it hasn't been, quote, verified, you know, by the standard medical blah, 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 that, you know, I'm going to do this is a big leap. We have to change it at a higher level. So doctors are doing what they've been trained to do. We have to change what they've been trained to do.
Wow. Everybody, my special guest today has been Dr. Ruby Lathan. Awesome, awesome interview, doctor. Listen, I want everybody to know where you're going to be. If you got anything coming up, any events, any workshops, you know, please feel free to share with our listeners anything happening. I know the weather's about to break. So when is the men's cooking class? I mean, because Dr. Lathan is going to be teaching how to cook, too.
Right. So there are some expos and things coming up. People can go to my website, rubylathan.com/events, or just go to rubylathan.com and you can just click on the events link there. I'll be at a heart health expo. I'll be at a couple of churches, a vegan fest. And locally, Next month we'll be having a nutrition workshop, and so that hasn't, the date hasn't been finalized yet, but it'll be in April. So that'll be upcoming. So, you know, people can just be on the lookout for that and actually sign up for my newsletter, so you'll be notified of when that workshop is coming up in the next couple of weeks. And then our summer class of cooking will be coming out soon too, for sure. So the best way is to get on the newsletter list, and you'll be notified of what's coming down the pipe.
Before you go, just if you could just tell people about the veggie chest. I was sharing before you came on how, you know, a lot of times people, when they're thinking about making the transition from eating meat, those that have decided that, you know, I've done the research, I've read the data, it seems like this is for me, I want to make the change, but I just don't know how. Can you tell them about the veggie chest and why, how that, the veggie chest, and how that, and why that was formed, so that people can take advantage of that as well?
Sure. It was, it's a plant-based cooking show that shows you how to use healthy whole foods to taste good and keep you healthy and well. So you can just go to my website and click on that link for the Veggie Chest, or you can find it on YouTube. And just put in the Veggie Chest, and you'll see it, or the Veggie Chest with Dr. Ruby, and it'll pop up. Or it's youtube.com/theveggiechest. So it's just easy, short segments to show you how to use raw food recipes and other things to really help heal your body. So that's there for people to watch for free and get the recipes on the website, and to just really learn how to make healthy food taste good.
Dr. Lathan, please give your information, because I know somebody wants to contact you. So you do free consultations. You do consultations. So if there's anybody out there,
And I do on Monday nights, we do a free wellness call with myself and a holistic physician, Dr. Theodore Watkins, where we take Q&A and talk about a variety of topics. So you can always join in if you have a specific question. You can take that question. You can ask your question on Monday nights, and so that's available to anyone who wants to join that. And then the archives are uploaded to the website the next day if you missed the call. So that is on Monday nights. You can get the number on the website. So the best way to get connected is go to rubylathan.com, RubyLathon.com. And you'll find the number, you'll find the information, you'll find events, and you can make an appointment. And I do free discovery calls to answer some short questions, and as well as discuss the nutrition plans that I have. And so when people just want to, you know, find out some basic information, we can have a short chat about that. And we'll send you some information as well. So, and there's a lot of free resources on the website too. But that's the best way to reach, or you can call the office at 202-733-4980. 202-733-4980.
Dr. Lathan, again, I want to thank you so much for another powerful show. Again, wow, I know it's just the first one of the year. You sure kicked it off in style. I mean, wow. So any parting words for our listeners today before you go?
To just be well, continue to learn and do what you can to stay healthy and feel good, and definitely start with diet and get the help and assistance you need to create a sustainable, healthy, good-tasting diet for yourself so that you can be on the preventative side of these illnesses.
Wow, Dr. Lathan, again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for the extended time. I certainly appreciate you, all the work that you do, and my prayer is that the Creator would just continue to open doors for you so that you can continue to do the work that you do, to spread the good news, to let people know that they do have options and that they can have the power to take the life back, you know, that they have, and really mm-hmm. make whatever changes that they need to make to, you know, live a healthy, fruitful, productive life, and they don't have to just accept what's been given to them every time they, you know, go to the doctor's office and get a bad report. There are options, and they can do just like you did, and they can have a testimony just like you did if they're willing to do what you did. Dr. Layden, thank you so much. I will be in touch, my sister. Peace and blessings to you.
All right. Thank you. You have a great night.
You. Thank you. You too. Everybody, that is Dr. Ruby Layden. I encourage you to give her a call if you need to find out where she's going to be. Go to her website, again, www.rubylathan.com, and find out where she's going to be. Because, again, you have the power to make changes in your life that are going to benefit you. I'll share a testimony that I have. Okay, I remember one time I had gotten hit by a car. It was a hit and run. Yeah, a guy just came out of nowhere, hit me, knocked me up in the air, you know, tore my knee up in three places. Doctor said I had a torn meniscus, a torn ACL, and a torn MCL. At the time, I didn't even know what a meniscus was, right? I never had a meniscus. What's that? Where is that? So, at any rate, the doctor told me that if I didn't have surgery, corrective surgery, that I would never walk right again. And he insisted that he was leaving the practice in about 3 weeks so that I needed to hurry up and schedule an appointment with his receptionist so that I can get this surgery before he left. Well, at the time that I had gotten hit by this car, I was still doing a holistic health radio show. So I had still had the benefit of having heard people like Dr. Layden at that point. I didn't know Dr. Layden at that time, but I had been interviewing people like Dr. Layden, people who had cured cancer, people who had cured diabetes, people who had, you know, done all these things, not through a pill, not by selling a pill, okay, but just by sharing with people that they can make the changes, and those that did saw great results. So at the time, again, I was doing the Holistic Health Show. So I felt to myself, well, Jawanza, now's the time to either put up or shut up. You've been preaching about holistic health just based on what other people have shared with you. But you've never really had to heal yourself, or you've never really had to test it, because you haven't been sick, or you haven't been in a situation where you would need to find out if this stuff works or not. Well, now, or at that point, was that time. The doctor was telling me that I wouldn't walk right again. I didn't have the surgery. So I called somebody that I knew who was in the holistic health, asked them their recommendations. They gave them, and I followed them. Now, it didn't happen overnight. And I kept going back to physical therapy, and I did do that. But I wasn't going to have the surgery. The lady who was conducting my physical therapy saw me struggling with the physical therapy and kept asking me at my weakest point, why don't you just have the surgery? Why don't you just stop putting yourself through this and have the surgery? That's something to tell somebody at their weakest point. I'm already kind of shaky in my faith concerning all of this, and she's hitting me with that. And, you know, of course, that's, you know, part of me was like, man, maybe she's right. Maybe you just need to have the surgery. The other part of me was like, no, hold on, which I did. Long story short, eventually my knees started getting stronger. My knees started getting better. I started to be able to walk right, and eventually jog, and eventually run, and eventually sprint. But had I not held on, especially at my weakest point, then I wouldn't have known, and I don't even want to use the word miracle, because I believe if you give the body what it needs, that it's going to do what it's supposed to do. Again, and I repeat, we're not selling anything here. Okay, there's nothing for sale. If you change your diet to a live it, and you start eating better. We don't sell vegetables here. Okay, we're not selling fruit. This isn't a grocery store. You go wherever you go to get your food. We're not selling that. Okay, Dr. Layden's not going to go shopping for you. Okay, You're going to do that for yourself. You're going to hear the information. You're going to research. You're going to get online. You're going to read testimonies. If necessary, you're going to read medical journals if you have to, but you're going to get the information. And you're going to make an intelligent, conscious decision that works for you. And if, and I say if, after reading and researching, you determine that holistic health is the route that you want to go, then this place called holistic health, this, or shall I say health, wealth, and divine, is a place set up for you. Because when you embark on this journey, in some cases, you might be the only vegetarian or vegan that you know. In some cases, you may have people in your family that think you're crazy. You might have people that tell you, very well-meaning people, people that love you, and they really care about you. You may have them tell you that they don't think that what you're doing is right. You might even hear people say, look, I know somebody that went down that vegetarian path. I know somebody that did that vegan thing, and they died. But how many people do you know that did the allopathic thing and died? How many people do you know that took the chemo and died? How many people do you know that took the radiation and died? So you can get in that line. I know if there are 10 people in front of me and I'm walking and I see 10 of them fall off a cliff, I can stay in that line if I want to, or I can get out of that line. And the reason oftentimes people don't go the holistic route, in many cases, it's because they don't know anybody else who did. And so because they know that the 10 people in front of them fell off the cliff, that cliff is all they know. And so they fall off the cliff. But we're here today to say, listen, there are options. There are no guarantees. We're not guaranteeing anything. But I guarantee you this. If you scroll down the archive and listen to the other shows by Dr. Latham, and listen to the shows with Dr. Watkins, and listen to the shows with Coy Dunstan, whose mother had cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon, and the doctor gave her 6 weeks to live. And he changed her diet to a livet. And before you know it, she was back in the pulpit preaching, giving glory to God. I guarantee you this. If you go and listen to those shows, you will be more educated concerning holistic health than you are right now. And then you have to choose. Do I keep walking towards the cliff, or do I get out of that line? So that's what this show is for, just to give you options, just to give you a place to go, okay? When your family members tell you that you're crazy, and you need to be you need to be built back up, right? You need to have your faith reinforced. You can come over here and scroll down the archives and listen to Dr. Latham or King Coy Dunstan, Dr. Ted Watkins, and others, okay? So, welcome, welcome, welcome. And just for the record, we're not dogmatic in our view concerning holistic health. Not saying that this is the only way. This is for the people who it's worked for. But there are other ways. Not entertain other views. But if it appears that it's going to get combative, if it appears that it's going to be back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it's going to take away from the show, then obviously, you know, we have to do something about that. But we're open to discuss anything. Dr. Lathan is a very educated lady, and she can handle her own. Okay? But We don't want to take away from the show, from the information, from the people that came to hear about holistic. Listen, everybody, I want to thank you so much for your time. You could be doing anything, but you've taken out of your day, taken time out of your day to spend it with my person and Dr. Ruby Lathan. Again, she comes on every other month, second Thursday of the month, so mark your calendar. And in the meantime, scroll down the archives. You can actually follow the show, okay, by just clicking follow if you're listening online, and then you'll be notified every time there's a guest. You'll be notified of the guest, the date, the time, and the topic. So, again, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate you. My name is Jawanza. Who am I? I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Who are you? Peace.